This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Can you hold this for a moment? Thanks.
Hi there. I'm Marco Tempest. I'm here to show you some of my magic with nothing more than my camera phone.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandu. Marco Tempest, he is a Swiss magician based in New York City. Marco is known as a techno illusionist, blending digital media and magic to produce astonishing illusions. Marco was here recently at KL Converge to talk about how to build a totally engaging audience, and he's here with me today to talk about that and also, is technology actually magic? Marco, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's talk about how you initially began your career as a techno illusionist. Now, the term techno illusionist, is this something that you came up off your own, or has it been around? And how did you sort of, you know, started all this? I understand that it started in way back in 1989.
That is true, yes. It actually started when Steve Jobs left Apple Computers and found it next.
Yeah.
And I saw an advertisement about this computer which is about to come out, a computer that can do things computers have not done before. So I wrote a letter to Next Computers and said, if I had the Next Computer, I could be a techno magician. I could do the next wave of magic. And surprising enough, a few weeks later, big boxes arrived at our house with the Next Computer in it. And to my surprise, actually, the computer didn't do very much.
There
was no magic. It didn't do any video playback and these kind of things. They came much later in computer history. But it had a programming environment on it with Objective-C and an interface builder, and looked very much like OS X looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And next step, the operating system. And so that got me... forced me into starting to use technology in my work.
Mm. And now you're obviously a YouTube star. But back in 1989 and in the early 90s, there was no such thing as YouTube. So how were you, you know, creating your own content, and how were you delivering those content?
So this was a time when technology was not as friendly perceived as it is right now. Ever since the iPhone, we have devices which we love to play with and pinch and zoom and swipe, and you can do nothing wrong with these kind of
it's
devices.
It's very natural as well.
It's natural, it's warm, it's enabling. We can be photographers, publishers, reporters. We can be inventors with these everything devices in our pockets. Back in the days, technology was cold and perceived as difficult. You could do things wrong. It needed a big manual. People had like VCRs, which had like 0000 flashing on them because they didn't know how to
only the people in the basement would understand how this worked.
Exactly. So the theme of my early work was always like, hey, look how fun technology is. You know, I can use a fax machine and fax somebody across the stage, or I can reach inside a TV and pull something out, or I can interact with a screen by painting on it and make the painting real. These days, we all love technology, and so maybe these days the focus is more how can we combine magic and technology to give the audience a feel of how a future technology might feel like.
Mm. So why does technology and magic seems to be, you know, to go hand in hand in a way? I've seen a lot of your YouTube videos, and the way that you communicate and the way that you engage your audiences, it is on a different kind of engagement level. You know, a lot of brands would aspire to have that kind of engagement that you do. But what is it about magic that fascinates us, and what is it about technology that you see enables you to deliver that kind of message?
I think engagement is a very good theme in all of this. And I think you could say almost that new technologies, before we truly understand them, tend to be magical.
So
the iPhone is a very good example.
Yeah.
When it first appeared, it was like
magic.
A time machine spit out a device from 5 years in the 5 years in the future. It came out of space to us, right? Playing with that theme a little bit, and in this area where the audience doesn't really know, is this truly possible, or is this existing technology which is just augmented with a little bit of magic, the skills of a magician to deceive the audience, to start a conversation in the best case scenario. So I think my work is very much about intriguing the audience about to have a conversation about what I do. And the conversation should not be, how did he do that? The conversation should be, oh, how would it be if we had gestural sensing and projection everywhere? Or how would it be if we could interact with robots in a way that we will not be able to in a long time? Like, how would it be if we had general purpose artificial intelligence, real digital assistants? How would it be if voice recognition or gaze tracking would really work? So these kind of conversations, I think, can be very well opened up and triggered by performing magic and kind of tricking the audience into having these kind of conversations. Mm.
Now, let's talk about, you know, creating content and, you know, trying to make the content go viral. In 2006, you started something called the Phone Cam Magic. And that took off very well. That went viral after a few episodes and people started doing their own phone cam magics as well. When you come up with content like this, what goes into the thought process? And do you actually plan about, you know, how it will go viral? Or is this just something out of passion?
So with the phone cam magic, the idea was that to make magic very fair, to have like a creator to say, we're going to shoot something with my phone camera and we're not going to edit it in any way. And we're going to upload it right away onto the internet. And we're going to not present it as an impossible magic trick, but maybe more like a puzzle and see what happens. Does this engage the audience? An underlying idea with that was also, is magic maybe related to problem solving and critical thinking? So if you show somebody a puzzle and you ask them how it's done, does this evoke a kind of problem-solving spirit in people? So does it not only engage them, but maybe change them a little bit and look at the world in different ways? Mm. That the mysteries around us might be solvable through science or through looking at them a little bit closer. So in this particular case, it worked out really well. People got very, very engaged with the content. There were things like me taking an umbrella from somebody on the street and shrinking it into a tiny umbrella and handing it back to them, or throwing my phone camera while it's recording off the top of my roof and catching it on street level. So these super impossible things happened without an edit or any camera tricks, you could say. And people needed to figure out how it was done. Mm. For me, it was a wonderful way to get much closer to my audience. As we know, on YouTube, you get instantly comments and critique and likes and dislikes. But you also find collaborators. So one side effect was that I not only got very good feedback from around the world very, very quickly, but I also found people which were interested in doing similar things or maybe contributing to my work. So it opened something which is very introverted. Magic is very introverted. We're very secretive about the genesis and engineering of our tricks. It opened it up to something more collaborative and teamwork. And that was a new experience for me and very, very interesting. How much further you can go by letting other people, designers, artists, explorers, problem solvers, script writers into your team and then creating these puzzles together.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to Marco Tempest. He's the world's best known magician, also a techno illusionist. We'll be right back with more. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm speaking to Marco Tempest. He's the world's best known magician, also a techno illusionist. You're a big YouTube star. So Marco, it's really an honor for me to speak to you because I am a fan of you and I do subscribe to your channel as well. Now, you talk about how you create content, like the phone cam magic and, you know, the thought process that goes into it. Do you plan for it to go viral, or, you know, is there and have that same sort of reaction that, you know, this is going to cause a reaction, this is what I'm going to do?
I mean, in hindsight, it's always very easy to say, well, this went viral because I did this and this and this. But the reality of it is that YouTube and online media is a very good playground to sandbox new ideas. And you very seldom get penalized for things which don't work. So it's a fantastic place to try things out, to iterate very, very quickly and to see what's good and what's not and what sticks and what's not. So if you look at the Phonecam series, we did about 24 videos. I did one every week. Some of them got mostly comments like, hey, come on, Marco, you can do a little better.
No, I know how you do this trick.
I know how you do this. And so and that can be a very, very good thing to have this kind of instant reaction and then to kind of hone your skills and see what works with what kind of groups of audiences, the analytics you're getting are excellent. You see the demographics and the different countries and when they watch it and how much they like it and so on. So I think to plan for viral is not a very easy thing. We see that with large brands, which typically the things which they can position virally are things which tend to be very expensive and resource intensive. Of course, if you have somebody jump from space, it's going to get viral, right, big time.
But try jumping off a building and throwing a phone and then catching it at the bottom. Then, that's something else.
Might go viral, and then you're very lucky. If it does, there's also a difference between a single viral video and episodic content with a large user base. Which I'm sure you guys in radio know a lot about that as well. It's much harder to retain an audience again and again and again and again. And that thing, I think, is not possible without engaging them. You need true engagement. You need a real conversation with your audience. It cannot just be a splashy thing which people want to share. They want to be part of it. They want to own it in one way or the other. They want to see their comments being executed on in your next video or in your next piece of content. So unless you really want to have a conversation with your audience, I think it's going to be very hard to be successful on a platform like YouTube.
Now, since you use YouTube a lot to, you know, showcase your content and the stuff that you create as well, what I want to know is, you know, I don't normally interview a lot of people who are YouTube sensations. Do you read every comment though?
Of course, there are little, like, kind of every content creator has like little tricks on how they deal with their content. Do you leave the negative comments on, or do you pre-approve every comment? And so there are different things, and I go through different phases of how I should deal with that. And YouTube can be very rude too. It's like you can get some really
nasty
things happen. So the sentiment usually stays. So if you have a lot of people who say positive things, then the sentiment stays positive. If you have one person say, hey, you're a jerk, then it's going to go that way very, very quickly and for quite a while. So kind of weaving out the scary stuff and keeping it safe for a younger audience to get rid of all the comments which might be inappropriate, and then answering comments is definitely part of the whole thing as well.
Now, what about brands who, you know, want to create content for, you know, video content for YouTube or any kind of video platforms are available? Like BFM, for example, you know, we venture into, you know, YouTube because we decided that, you know, radio is not just the only platform for us to deliver news. We decided to do on YouTube as well. But however, people tend to stay away when it's a brand related that goes onto YouTube because they find, you know, you might be subscribing to a brand, hence you are probably, you know, advertising for the brand, or you are sponsoring, or you're an advocate for the brand. How do brands get away from that perception and still have the same kind of engagements as compared to an individual like you, who, you know, people can talk to because they feel, I'm actually talking to Marco himself?
I think the trick is really to be open to learn and iterate as much as you can. Like, just try as many things as you can within the policy framework of what's allowed within your organization, and see what starts working, and then and make sure you have wonderful people who can do that in your content team, and especially if they're on camera, you know, they want to be likable and they want to be genuine and true, and they want to be real fans of what they're doing and of what they're representing. I don't think there's much more of a recipe which would make sense. Also
marketing,
also for different brands, it's different. It's probably different things they want to. Some brands might just want to show their products and how they work, and offer great advice on how to deal with issues. Other brands really want to let the audience in more closely into what they're doing, maybe showing their manufacturing processes or just showing how excited they are about the things they do. For a radio station, which is on YouTube, you become this hybrid between a radio station and a television station, which I think is a great thing to do. I'm always curious when I hear voices on radio. How do these people look like, and where are they sitting when they sit, when they talk so relaxed and so on. So I think it's a wonderful place for experimentation. It's going to take a little bit of time. YouTube is not what it was 10 years ago. So it's a little harder to get a recognition and to get an audience because
there's a lot of noise on YouTube at the moment.
A lot of noise and there's not a homepage which features videos anymore like there used to be like when I started, where it was very, very easily to be seen by everybody. At the same time, I think it's still a wonderful opportunity for brands to play with it. On the other hand, it's not for everybody. Not every brand needs to be on Facebook or on YouTube. But if you are, then make it part of your culture and give it a fair shot.
Now, you work with different kinds of digital media, iPhones, iPads, desktop computers and stuff like that. What are some of the current technology that you're working on or you're fascinated about and, planning to do something, magic with it?
So I currently use a lot of computer vision and kind of artificial intelligence to drive the logic in my magic. What I'm super excited about is, on one side, gaze tracking. That's a technology where computers are able to see what we're exactly looking at. So you could imagine you can use your eyes as your mouse.
This is like the Kinect and stuff.
Yeah, but for your eyes. So you look at something and move things around by just your gaze. You don't even have to move your head. So that's a very exciting technology. And once this will be implemented in products, and maybe it's part of your monitor or your phone, it's going to enable a new way, which is very magical, to interact with data, move data around. Another thing which I'm super fascinated about is, of course, virtual reality and the latest breed of augmented reality. We have devices like the HoloLens, the Oculus Rift, which in its final version is going to be absolutely amazing, right? And it's probably going to start within gaming, but it's going to spread through a lot of other areas of entertainment and also education and so on. So these are kind of some of my top candidates. Then, like everybody, I'm intrigued with the kind of things which came out of what we have in our cell phones. So accelerometers and cameras and GPS. You could say, like, for example, the drones, which everybody is a fan of. They're basically flying cell phones, right? Cell phones. So there are a lot of these devices which get created out of existing technology. So it's like almost like putting Lego bricks together and making something new, a wireless weather station or a drone or a self-driving car. All these things, these are fascinating things which might be a little further in the future than we want them to be, but it's an exciting time to talk about it and to sandbox and experiment with them and show them in my magic.
And with so many new technologies that are coming up, even wearables as well, we see gesture control movements and stuff. When it comes to new technologies and you trying to incorporate magic to it, is there a lot of, for a lack of a better word, hacking that goes into these systems so that you could understand the magic that you're trying to push through? Or is this kind of systems is just what it is, that, it's something that you just buy off the shelf?
I think in a way it is what it is, and it has the capabilities or the robustness of the current state of technology. But in a way, I'm like an inventor which is not limited by available technology, because I'm a magician as well. So I can illusion augment existing technologies and make them do things they might not be able to do. A good example is I have a performance where I interact with a large robot on stage and we do magic together and very closely interact, which is maybe something which is not quite possible yet on the factory floor, because robots tend to be kind of scary, especially when they move fast. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great opportunity to start conversations about this. How would it be if we had robots in our life and we could truly interact with them like we interact with friends?
We'll all be lazy.
We'll all be lazy. And I think, you know, this might be 50 years out or even longer. But with a little bit of trickery and a little bit of technology, I can show my audience how that might feel like today.
What has been the best magic trick that you've done so far that you really enjoy doing it and you would just do it every single time if you had the chance?
So, of course, it's always the latest thing you're working on, which you're most excited about as an artist. The most rewarding thing is always when there is a performance and somebody comes up to you and says, you know, when I saw you do this, that inspired me so much, I went out and did my own thing. And so that's the ultimate reward for a techno illusionist, to be able to be out there on stage doing something which may be a little bit strange, a little bit different from many other people, and still being able to, once in a while, inspire somebody else to go out and do their own stuff.
Now, Marco, I understand that you work with, you know, video content, and radio isn't the normal content media platform that you would normally use. But any tricks that you could do on radio for us?
A trick that I could do on radio? Yes, I could do something, and bear with me, it's going to take a little bit of time. So here is something we can try together. I want you to think of a number between 1 and 9. And I want you to make up your mind now. Now I want you to multiply that number by 9. So whatever number you had, you multiply this number by 9. You now end up with a 1 or a 2-digit number. If it's a 2-digit number, then I want you to add the 2 digits together, which gives you a new number. Now take this number and subtract 5 from it. You now have a 1-digit number. If we take the alphabet and A would be 1, B 2, C 3, D 4, E 5, and so on, think of the letter corresponding to your number. Now think of a country that starts with that letter. Now take the second letter of that country. Think of an animal which starts with that letter. And now think of the color of that animal. You got that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. If you are thinking of gray elephants in Denmark.
I have no idea how you did that. We'll find out later on, maybe outside the studio. Marco, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much for having me here.
I've been speaking to Marco Tempest, the world's best techno illusionist or a radio magician. There you go. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.